In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. It's a great privilege to be a Christian. It's a great privilege to do God's work. It's a great privilege to participate in holiness. That's what Christians can do, you know. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. But we are to care for those in the world. We are to do what our Lord Jesus Christ did on the earth. We are to heal the sick, to comfort the mourning, to enlighten those who are ignorant. It's our job. Our Lord gave it to us. It's a great privilege to be a Christian. I feel this privilege every day. And it's not just specifically for priests or for bishops to do the work of God. It's for all of us. It's also a great privilege to read the Gospels. I hope you do read them every day. Because the Gospels have multiple messages for us. But for me, every time I read them, the message that I hear is that it's how to think. It's how to be. The Gospels tell us the right way to look at the world. Of course, they tell us about Jesus Christ, and he teaches us with his beautiful words. But those words have no impact unless we change to open up to allow them in, and unless we become different because of them. The gospel is radically different than anything else that you can find in the world. Even any Christian, any other document, any other religious document, radically different. Including even radically different than the Old Testament. Because they teach us how to think. And today is a great example of this. There is a human way of thinking. And there is a spiritual way of thinking. And you must always learn to distinguish between these two things. It's very important to learn this. The human way of thinking looks at circumstances and makes evaluations and calculates percentages and decides if something is worthwhile or not. Sometimes the human way of thinking does something or doesn't because of some selfish reason. But even if you discount that part, the sinful part, where we have our passions which cause us to do things that are sinful, the human way of thinking does not look at God. The human way of thinking looks at the environment, at the circumstances. And we do this all the time. And I do this all the time as a priest. Constantly I'm in circumstances where I have a certain pessimism. That's a sin. As Christians, we should never be pessimistic or fatalistic or negativistic. If that's a word. Because our Lord has given us the task of enlightening the world. So we see that in this feeding of the 5,000. And just look at how our Lord is teaching us to think and act differently. Of course, the great miracles, they fed the 5,000, it points to the Eucharist, and has all of those important theological things that we should understand. But you should understand those because you read the scriptures often, and you listen to the services, and it just jumps out that this is about our Lord providing the Eucharist to us. Of course, the bread and the fish was not Eucharist, but it's a type of it. But this is not the most important part. The most important part is that the Lord teaches his disciples, and then us, of course, to think supernaturally, to think spiritually, not to think in a human, fixed, closed way. That's what gets us in trouble. All the time, what gets me in trouble is when I think in a closed way. Of course, the secular idea is you think out of the box. Well, a Christian thinks always looking towards God. God can do anything. Now, he had just healed the sick, because he had compassion on them. And there was a great multitude, thousands upon thousands of people, probably more than 15,000 people, 20,000 people easily. And it's the end of the day, and there's no food. So the disciples, being concerned, say, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away so that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." That's human way of thinking. There's no food. There's no water. This is the desert. Everybody's not going to have anything to eat. We've got to get on this now. This is something we must deal with now. If we don't do anything about it, it'll be dark and it'll be too late. It's human way of thinking, but wrong. But Jesus said to them, "They need not depart. You give them to eat." They had nothing to give. He said, "You do it." This is what he tells you, and he tells me. He tells us all. You give them to eat. We talked about it in the last Sunday about the epistle. We who are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. And every single one of us is bound by that command. None of us is too weak to help someone weaker than ourselves. We should give them to eat. And of course, the Lord knew. There was 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they found him. And they say to him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish, sort of parenthetically. We just have hardly anything. That's hardly enough for 3 people. And of course, the Lord then performs the miracle. What we give the Lord, if we give it with faith, is always enough. Always. Because he will always increase it. This is a marvelous thing. This applies to your daily life. You have someone that you really care about. They're not doing well. They haven't been in church, or they're an atheist, or there's some problem. There's so many problems that people have. It's so horrible, the kind of suffering that we go through. And you know people that do this, maybe in your very own family, maybe yourself, people that you know, people that are in your heart and that you're greatly sad about. And you can pray for them. You can give them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And if you pray with faith, that will be enough. Absolutely, it will be enough. Now, I'll admit to you, I do the praying. I have trouble thinking it's enough. I know it's enough in my heart, but there's those thoughts. You know, those thoughts, the Greeks have a name for it, logismoi. There's another way to pronounce it too, I think, logismi, I think. Whatever, they are those thoughts that come about that kind of say, it's a desert place. There's no food. Don't believe those thoughts. They're just from the devil. They're from your own weakness, from your own unbelief. If you got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I tell you, you always do. You're never without 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You always have enough. You can give them to the Lord. So you can pray for your friend, for your family member. Maybe you have some difficult situation that you don't know how to deal with. You can give it to the Lord. And you can do what you can. And then as you are directed, and as you become more able, as the Lord enlightens you, you can do more. You can only do what you can do at a moment in time. You can't do better than you can do. But you can become better. It can multiply. This is a great privilege. You give the Lord just a small amount, just a pittance, and he multiplies it, whether it be your prayer, your almsgiving, whether it be your visiting prisons, whether it be giving a word to someone who doesn't seem to hear the word, maybe they're mentally ill or depressed or just anxious, and it seems every time you do it, well, doesn't look like it's working. But if you keep doing this, God will help you. Absolutely. And God will help them. You've got to give the two loaves. Excuse me, the five loaves and the two fish. There's always enough. Always. Don't ever be telling yourself it's a desert place. There's another gospel that I think is very much like this. When the daughter dies, and Jairus is told by the servant who comes and says, "Don't trouble the master, she's already dead." And the Lord says, "Just believe. Don't believe those voices. You have a great privilege, a privilege greater than kings. That is to be a Christian and then to spread the love of God abroad, all over the world, by the way you live, by the person you are. Doesn't have to be great, fantastic things. You don't have to build an orphanage. You don't have to create some endowment. You don't have to be some sort of fantastic teacher or preacher. All you need do is give the Lord what you've got, your five loaves and your two fish, with belief. And if you don't have complete belief, then give him the belief you've got. Because there's another gospel that tells us that the man said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." So we got no reason not to give the Lord what we have. Doesn't matter if we fully believe or not. Doesn't matter what we've got. It only matters that we give it with as much power as we have. Don't leave anything on the table. Give the Lord everything you've got. It's a small amount, but the Lord will multiply it. This is a Christian principle. This applies to everything you do in your life. We should not be mediocre people. We shouldn't be anxious. We shouldn't be unhappy. Many of us are. The key to being happy is to look away from ourselves. Don't look inside, but look outside. Give ye them to eat. Another gospel says, look at the fields. They're white for harvest. There are so many troubles in the world. They're overwhelming how many troubles there are. Both big, you know, in terms of geopolitical struggles, and small, in terms of just an individual. Basically, if you're on a bus or in a train or traveling down the highway, every person around you has a great struggle. Every single one. But we have an opportunity to give them our little bit and the Lord to multiply it. And then what happens after we give them our little bit? It's multiplied and there's something left over because after they had fed the 5,000 men, besides children and women, so certainly 20,000, maybe 30,000, they took up the fragments, 12 baskets full. And of course, there's symbolical meaning there to the 12 baskets. But the critical thing is, you give to the Lord and you will never be left wanting. You give of yourself everything you got and you still will have more to give. Never goes away. It's like the cruse of oil that never is diminished. This is a great privilege. Let's live this way. This is what empowers us. This is what gives us happiness and grace. And this is what obliterates our passions. Because when you think of others and when you give the small amount that you have, your heart is opened to God. And God fills an open heart. This is very important. This is how we need to think. Now there's one other point to how to think in this story. Immediately after they had eaten, the Lord constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side. The people had just been fed a marvelous meal. An incredible miracle had taken place. And the Lord says, get out of here. Go now. You don't need to be rewarded by the adulation of men. You need to be humble. You need to go do the next task. You need to pray. We need to go across, away from the crowds. And so should we be, just like that. The reward of doing good is that the Lord fills the heart. It's not what men say. It's not your status. It's that you are filled with God. It's a great privilege to be a Christian. I hope you feel this privilege. And I hope that you give in any opportunity that you see your little 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's always enough. All you need to do is pray. All you need to do is give it as best you can. Maybe somebody can give it better than you, but you're not, that person isn't there at that moment. You're the one there. So you give the best you can. And your best will become better. And the small amount that you give will become greater. And the great miracle will occur. Your heart will open and God will fill you. This is how to make it happen. There are no desert places in the world. You always have enough. God will always increase what you give. There will always be left over. And God will fill your heart. That is pretty good news. That's why we call it the gospel. May God bless you and help you in all things.